In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey. And then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Fade the Dibbers in 5 minutes. Let's go to Alan and Campbell. Hi, Alan. Thank you for calling Willie and Dibby.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. Thank you so much for taking my call. Let's save Dibley a little bit early. I wrote a little verse yesterday as I was watching this game, which ended up being prophetic, which I'd like to just share with everyone. Willard, you made this point a moment ago and just hammered it from a rational side as far as overpaying Brandon Ayuk and all these other receivers. So here's my contribution. Brandon Ayuk caused such trepidation during his contract negotiation. Indeed, there was much speculation. Were his skills worthy of such compensation? Thank goodness for yesterday's clarification. No need for further cogitation. 5 catches on 9 targets for 48 yards? Sounds like a market inflation sensation. No, and with that, boys, I'm out.
That's
just somebody rack him. Yeah, that please. Was just incredible.
And Alan, send us $6. But other than that, that was a phenomenal phone call.
There's no need for further cogitation because you know you look at what you have and 10 targets I think was the official number.
Was it 9 or 10?
5 catches.
Whatever it was,
depends what you look at. And either way, that was a game where Guru's got me on the prize picks, and so I'm betting a lot of these props. And I was looking at the Brandon Ayuk 5.5 catches. To me, that was an easy over. I put that in a bunch of my different prize picks plays and had that work out for me.
Well, you got a hedge.
Great.
You got a hedge with the over 1.5 drops.
Yeah,
because he should have had over 5.5 catches, but he dropped 2 or 3 of them.
Yep.
So
no doubt.
888-957-9570. Let's do one more, then we'll fade the dibs, and then we'll keep on going. Vinny in Motown. Vinny, yo.
Hey, what up, fellas? How you doing?
What's good?
Got a couple things. So I'm choosing to look at the opposite side of the coin here. I'm thinking that we got a 24-year-old quarterback that's helped take us to an NFC championship and the Super Bowl in the last 2 years. I think the front office got lucky with that after we blew a lot of our picks on the Trey Lance situation. So I feel like we could be in a lot worse situation than we currently are in. I feel like there's a little bit of that Super Bowl funk. These injuries are not helping. The holdouts that were happening in the beginning of the season didn't complement the energy. I know the guys say, hey, new season, let's start over fresh, new mentality, it's a different year. But I think there's a little bit of a carryover after losing in a dramatic fashion as they did last year. So I'm choosing to believe that it's barely game 3. If we can get our guys healthy, if people want to start counting us out now, I think that's one of the greatest things that I've noticed about the Shanahan teams in the last few years is, when we've come up from behind, when we made the playoffs in the last game of the season versus the Rams, when we went wild card, I think we're much better with that underdog mentality. And I think somebody like Greenlaw coming back, leading that pack mentality of him and Warner just out there causing havoc. I know Hargrave's going to be down, but it's next man up. I think if McCaffrey can get back, and that's the good thing you've seen yesterday is Brock has the ability to do it without a lot of the ones. So if you're looking at a 24-year-old guy that everybody's like, how do we pay him? Do we not pay him? I think you pay the guy. I think the guy's perfectly made for the Kyle Shanahan system, West Coast quarterback, that he can run that. He's smart. And his back hurts yesterday from diving for first down, scrambling, just to try to make a play to give his team a chance to win. And that's the kind of mentality you need. I see a lot of these second and third year guys out here throwing pick six and stuff. So I think everybody just needs to calm down. It's a long season. We got a lot of games to go. If we can get healthy, that's the biggest thing. Get healthy going into that second half of the season. You saw the Philadelphia Eagles go 10-0 and lose 6 straight and then get bounced out. And that's how quick a season can change. But it just takes a team to be healthy. And I think Brock's got what it takes. So I think we all just need to calm down. I think we have a little bit of that spoiled, Giants winning World Series, Warriors winning championships, Niners were the 80s and 90s. Was like, hey, man. Like, that's great, but and we're tasting it. We're hungry for it. But I'd rather be the Niners in that Super Bowl than Detroit looking for their first Super Bowl in 50-plus years. You know what I mean?
Of course. Yeah,
that's Vinny, good perspective, Vinny.
It's good perspective, and it's all true. Like, but I don't know that anybody today is saying that the season is on the brink. It's not. And within locker rooms, I've been told this repeatedly by people who have played in locker rooms, which is that coaches look at each four games as a quadrant of the season. I know it's now a 17-game season, so one of these needs to be a five-gamer, but they coach up the idea of, let's win this quadrant. Let's win. Let's try to go 3-1 in these four games. If you're able to do that four times, you're going to have a really special season, 12-4, 12-5, something like that. And if you can't do it, at least make a par. And go 2-2. And the 49ers, I firmly believe, will do that. We'll get to this weekend this week. But I firmly believe they will still go 2-2. And the season has plenty of time. But this isn't about Brock. And it's not even, to me, about the injuries. Like, I would love it if yesterday felt like it was because of the injuries. Oh, the Niner offense is hampered. And so they struggled. And they only scored 19 points. That's not what happened. They looked fine. They threw the ball well. They ran the ball well. They moved the ball up and down the field. And all kinds of other mistakes by fully healthy groups totally messed the game up. And you're looking at groups now and wondering if this is just them. Is this the 49er defense? Is this who they are?
Well, it might be. And you're going to be without Javon Hargrave. And everyone's talking about Dre Greenlaw when he comes back. We don't know if he's going to be able to come back off the Achilles. You hope around Thanksgiving, but that still is about 8 or 9 games away. So this might be the group. And you have a brand new defensive coordinator. And you don't look like your defense is that good right now. And you mentioned, yeah, the injuries and the offense and the rest of it. You went up against a team that didn't have its two top receivers, didn't have its tight end, and three of the five starting offensive linemen were not there. So this was a game where you can't even use the, oh, we were so injured as an excuse, because the team you played against was as injured, if not more injured than you.
No doubt. And how many sacks did they get in this game?
The Niners got three sacks,
three.
I believe.
Three sacks.
Three.
That is
and one
accurate.
Of them
yeah.
was Okawanyu.
Correct.
Unblocked, who just strolled down the middle yep. of the offensive yep. line and barely got a hand on Stafford. It counts, but that was one of the three.
Okay. 888-957-9570. You'll feel better if you let it out. So keep coming. We'll keep going to you. Kyle Shanahan's press conference coming up in 5 minutes. Let's spend a minute with this, though, because you got a double Monday nighter tonight. The Jags are at the Bills, and the Commanders are at the Bengals. And if nothing else, if the Niners aren't going to win games, the least you could do is make a bunch of money. And that's what we provide when we fade the Dibbers.
It's time for
Fade the Dibbers. Ooh.
Please explain.
Nostra Diblis gives out his pick. You bet against it. You make money.
Cash me out one time.
It's that simple.
Hey, Dibs, your pick stinks.
Dibs, what's the lock of the day?
Actually, we got two today. Double Monday night action. And I'll tell you what, Mark, I'm ready to get back on the beam here and get some wins. I'm sitting at 4-4 on the year, which you and I talked about it. That's the worst thing for me to be in this
yeah,
bit.
That's not good.
It's
that's
dead 500. But
no,
I'll tell you what.
You've reestablished yourself with your bad picks.
Oh, I'm ready to get hot again.
Well, what does hot mean is the question. So the Bills are -4. This line has just changed.
Yeah, I just saw that.
The Bills are now -4 against the Jags, and the Bengals are -7.5 against the Washington Commanders. I know both of the correct picks. Let's see if you make them.
Well, you don't know. You don't know squat.
I do.
You think you know, but you don't know, and you may never find out. I'm going to win both these games tonight, and those of you trying to fade me, this one's going to hurt you, because I like a favorite, and I like a dog. I'm going to take the Bills, given just 4. The sharp money's all over Jacksonville now because the money's pouring on the Jags. I'm not buying it, you sharps. You don't know anything. Give me the Bills -4, and I'm taking the Commanders on the road in the 7.
Bay Area and beyond, listen to me and listen to me very,
don't
very closely.
Don't go deep voice on me now.
Fade the Dippers.
You're against me on both of these?
Fade the Dippers. Dibbers.
All right, we'll see.
Fade the Dibbers.
Your boy's ready to get hot.
Your parlay tonight is Jacksonville and Cincinnati.
I didn't know Joe Burrow had dyed his hair. That changes everything.
Jacksonville and Cincinnati. That is your parlay tonight.
You take Buffalo and you take the Commanders. Brian Robinson's about to fantasy football all over you.
I knew you were going to do it. I knew it.
I made these picks 5 days ago. I'm sticking with it. You laugh now and cry much later.
Yeah, I do laugh now. Jags and Bengals. Trust me.
Oh, trust you.
Trust me.
Guy over there betting $6 a game.
I bet way more than that. I bet 10 on it. Major. And I think I might go put some more money on it now.
You should.
I think I will.
Yeah.
I think I will. All right. Okay, so Kyle Shanahan is coming up here in just a moment. 888-957-9570. That is the number. Mike and Tony and Ian, stay right where you are. We're going to keep coming again all day, all the way up until 6. We are simply here for you, and I feel like we can do this together. That was, to me, that is right up there, certainly at least in the regular season. That is among the most frustrating losses in the Kyle Shanahan era, period. And so I know a lot of people came out yesterday and they're like, I don't know if I can listen. This is too frustrating. This is annoying me too much. No. That's when we need togetherness. That's when you need, and you will. You'll feel better when you let it out. Dibs, do you feel a little better now?
No,
don't you?
Not at all. Nope.
You've been laughing. I feel like you're smiling a little bit.
I'm laughing because I see the world in a certain way. And I'm laughing because sometimes laughter is the best medicine.
There you go.
Angry Jeff.
That's awesome. That's what I'm talking
about.
Nobody
wants angry Dibs.
We've come to get used to it.
He hasn't been around in a long time now.
Yeah, but I can see him when he's in there.
That's not true.
He hides in there.
You try to find him. You're trying your best to get there, but you won't.
All right, 888-957-9570. More of your calls next. Plus, Kyle Shanahan's press conference in full, including his announcement of the injury report, which includes a player out for the year, and it includes one of the 49ers on IR heading on a long vacation. All of that coming up on Willard and Dibs.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
On 95.7 The Game.
All right, we are here for you. We want you to let it out. We want you, though, to be fully informed on what to say when you let it out. So there's a quick and easy way to do that. You got questions for Kyle Shanahan? I bet you do. The assembled media had questions for Kyle Shanahan as well. And he just held his Monday conference. And so we're going to take a full listen to that. And then we will immediately dive right back to you so you can let it out and get it off your chest and try to start feeling better. 888-957-9570. The conversation between the media and Kyle Shanahan started with him giving out the injury update after yesterday's loss.
All right, guys, injuries from the game. Dee Winters with an ankle just aggravated his previous injury. Brock Purdy has some back soreness. He'll be day-to-day. And Javon Hargrave, you're wrong about. He partially tore his triceps, so he'll likely be out for the season. That's it from the game. Go ahead.
Kyle, obviously surprised by the Hargrave injury. How was he playing, and how big of a loss is that right now?
I mean, it's a big one, and I thought he had his best game yesterday. I thought he was a huge factor, really affected the quarterback in that game. And, you know, it's a big loss. And he's one of our better players, and he's definitely going the right direction. He's going to have a big year.
What do you guys do now to compensate for the losses, Javon?
I mean, we're still working through that. We got a couple guys on practice squad that we'll most likely bring up. We got some outside guys who are good inside rushers, you know, as far as pass downs and things like that. But we'll always look out at what's available out there. But usually you go to your practice squad. And hope to get Kalia Davis back soon, too, which would help. Not this week, I don't think, but hopefully soon.
For the season, is there a chance he could get back to the playoffs?
I believe so. But when you whether you partially tear it or tear it, you know, we're recommending surgery. So when you get surgery, that's usually, you know, it's a few months at least. So, I mean, if there was a chance, it'd have to be late in the playoffs.
And, Kyle, as far as Brock, is there any concern there about anything structural or anything of that nature?
His MRI was good, so we feel good about that. But just sore today, and hopefully he'll feel better by Wednesday.
Turning to the game, I have a question about how you guys handled the end of regulation. We've seen you in the past at the end of the first half make a major priority to not allow the other team to get the ball back. Why wasn't that the thinking toward the end of regulation when you guys took over with 1:51 left?
I think it is the thinking. It's not the number one goal. The number one goal is to try to win the game right there, which I believe we had every opportunity to do. But that's why we didn't get in the 2-minute on that second and I think it was second and six. We threw a curl route to BA. And we huddled up after it. So that was totally the thought process. And then the next down, we had an incompletion, and then we had a drop. And then it was third and 10, and they had one timeout left. So, you know, by that time, then it's over. You got to move the chains, or they're going to be able to use their timeout and go. And Brock ended up scrambling on us, so we had them use their timeout. But there wasn't a time that we could run out the clock, you know. Obviously, we didn't get it done, didn't make the catch, and, you know, you could come out and run it the first couple of downs and things like that, but we were trying to win it with that in our mind, and that's why when we were in bounds, that's why we huddled up and didn't go into two-minute mode.
Kyle, having him back out there from an energy standpoint, and what did you think of his performance in his first game back?
I thought it was good first game back. You know, he wasn't at the point of attack too much, but he definitely had made some plays in it, had a good tackle on the sidelines. And I think he held up pretty well. I haven't got to talk to him personally, but the film looked good, and hopefully it was a good step in the right direction, and it'll build off that going forward throughout the season.
Kyle, Christian traveled to Germany over the weekend, I believe. And is that to visit with Dr. Wheeling? And what's your understanding of what he's hoping to accomplish there?
I'm not sure what doctor it is. I know he's going to see a specialist that I believe can help him with his Achilles process, and I think he's doing that over these next few days, and hopefully it'll help.
One more Achilles question about Dre Greenlaw. Is there a timeline yet on, you know, approximately when he might be able to come back?
No, I mean, when I set out at the beginning of the year, I was hoping mid-season, so I haven't asked here in the last couple weeks, but that was what it was at the beginning of the year, and still hoping that. So, but midseason still a ways away.
Why did D. Winters enter for Campbell on the Rams' third series?
Just planned on it before the game. You know, he wanted to do that early going into this year also, but D. just got hurt there, I think, in that last preseason game, so that set that back a little bit, and he's gotten healthy, and we planned on doing that early, just like the week before we planned on doing it with Gio and Malik. So we started that, and then he got hurt he re-aggravated his ankle on the fake punt.
Is that any reflection of kind of a dissatisfaction with Campbell's performance?
No, we want to keep working to get the best guys out there, and D's had a good camp, and he showed that he deserves the chance to push him, and he did good on the plays that he did when he was in there, and hopefully he'll get healthy so we can keep doing the same stuff.
Kyle, where is Jacob Cowing on his, I guess, progression in getting involved in the offense, and were there thoughts about getting him any snaps on offense?
He's still working to get out there. You know, he's trying to get more comfortable with the offense and just earn a role with it, and gets closer and closer each week. Still got a bit to go, though.
Yeah, how has he been looking? I mean, he's obviously not off the injury list, but does he look like he's normal health-wise other than that?
Yeah, he's totally healthy.
Is it more mental understanding of the offense and where he needs to be?
There's lots of reasons that go into it, but he hasn't been able to make his way into that group yet, and the more he gets comfortable with the offense and the more consistent he gets, then he'll earn those opportunities.
Kyle, there was a play late in the game where it looked like Brock had Brandon open late and saw him and kind of hesitated to throw it and ended up coming back to Jennings. What did you see on that play? What was kind of the reason that Brock maybe didn't let that one go?
They busted a coverage and BA had a deep curl route and they busted the coverage, so BA did the right thing and just took off and went to that hole, and it kind of caught Brock by surprise because, you know, BA was number two in the progression. When he looked to him, BA wasn't in the right spot because they busted a coverage, and then he went down the field and Brock thought about it. He just wasn't sure where the rest of the safety was or anything, since he wasn't anticipating that to happen, and it would have worked, obviously, if you let it go, but that happens sometimes. Defense busts a coverage, and if you're not looking at the guy the whole time, all of a sudden turns it into a go route. You can't always just let it rip.
Can you explain that a little bit more? What coverage were they supposed to be in, and what did they end up doing?
They're supposed to be in two sky weak, and the corner stayed supposed to be a half player, stayed in a cloud, and didn't play half.
That's kind of what I thought.
Yeah.
Kyle, last year you had, you know, pretty good injury luck, or that's the term, you know, particularly with your star players. Obviously totally different so far this year. I mean, I don't know, stupid question, I guess, but do you have a sense if, like, this may not happen back-to-back years and going into this?
What may not happen back-to-back years?
Well, just, like, having guys stay healthy, and particularly your star players.
Injuries are always a part of it. We've had to deal with it a number of years, sometimes more than others. I think last year, just mainly with some of our main guys, we were very fortunate. You know, they didn't miss too many games. This year it's been totally different to start out. So that's been real tough. You know, I'd like to try to stay positive with it that, you know, all of them eventually are going to come back, but that probably changed with Hargrave today. So that was a tough pill to swallow there. But, yeah, we definitely haven't had the luck that we had last year.
Kyle, what did you see from your secondary after looking at the film?
From who?
From the secondary in pass coverage.
I thought the biggest thing was, you know, when you give up three deep balls for 130 yards and only one of them was a completion, you know, that was tough right there. You know, we got the two PIs, you know, I think one 50-yard PI, another 30-yard PI there at the end, and then the one that they got by our defense on the one they completed inside the four-yard line. So I thought that was the toughest part about it. And that's what gave them a chance to get back in the game and eventually beat us.
Do you have any updates on Mooney and Kittle?
Let's see. Kittle, hope to get him back at practice this week, and Mooney's good to go.
As far as special, is there a common thread that runs through where the issues have been? I know they've come in different areas these last couple of weeks, but what do you need to see from that special teams unit as a whole that hasn't been out there producing so far?
I always love the special teams to help win, but my biggest thing is to not help lose, and it's not by making mistakes. And, you know, we had a bad one in Minnesota with the blocked punt, and then we had a bad one this week with giving up the fake punt. So those are two things that we got to shore up. I mean, I would always love to make plays and stuff on special teams, but the biggest thing is to not be one of the reasons that you lose. And those were two huge things, one in Minnesota and then yesterday on that fake punt. And that stuff we got to be more prepared for first as coaches and get our guys ready for that a lot better than we did yesterday.
And there was also the long punt return. Is that just a matter of the young guys not fully embracing their roles or not being, not having enough experience in those roles?
Well, I mean, you'd love to be able to make the tackle at the gunner. I loved how Malik shot his guns, which slows the guy down a little bit. And you need a contained player on that play when he gets to the sidelines. You know, there was a clip in the back, which would have, you know, negated him from getting the sidelines. But once they did end up clipping us, he got to that edge, and our contained player, who was supposed to be there, was not there. He was sucked up in the middle and didn't get to that, which led to a huge play. And that's coaching, that's playing, that's everything. But that's why it happened, and we got to make sure that we get a guy there, because if they do get to the edge, however they get to the edge, you better have a guy in contain, and we didn't.
Hey, Kyle, is Yetur Gross-Matos a possibility to play on the interior?
Yes, he is. All right, guys. Do you want to?
All right, guys. Thanks for the fun chat. There it is. Kyle Shanahan on all the ins and outs of yesterday, including the injuries. And again, if you're just joining us, Javon Hargrave is out for the year. D. Winters has an ankle. I don't know the extent of what that means. Brock Purdy, back soreness. Charvarius Ward, good to go. Came out of the game fine. And no one even asked about Nick Bosa, who didn't even miss a play. And they hope to get George Kittle back at practice this week. And also said, as a coaching staff, they need to do a better job of getting everybody in the correct position on special teams. Gee, you think?
Well, it was coaching. It was also the players, and he explained it on the punt return there at the end how he didn't have the proper containment after Malik Mustafa fired his gun and dove in there and tried to make the big hit as the gunner and was unable to. So yeah, it was coaching, and it was also execution. And interesting, the first question he was asked about replacing Javon Hargrave, and he talked about a couple of guys off the practice squad, which is usually where you look first. Evan Anderson is a rookie, undrafted rookie, 325 pounds, and T.Y. McGill is a guy who's been in the league for 8 years, and he's been on the practice squad, so maybe he gets elevated. But he also mentioned Kalia Davis as somebody they're hoping to get back,
Yep.
He had a knee injury, and he's probably going to be gone for a handful of games still yet to go. And you heard Jennifer Lee Chan ask at the end about Yetur Gross-Matos. Can he be a guy to move to the inside? And Kyle said, sure. Either way, they're going to have to find something, somebody to come in and play in the interior and the defensive line, because a unit that has already been a little thin is just getting thinner.
888-957-9570. It keeps going with you. What do you want to get off your chest after that one yesterday? Let's keep rolling. Tony in Santa Rosa, thank you for calling Willard and Dibbs. What's up?
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good, Tony. How are you?
Yeah, good. Long time listener, first time caller.
Thank you.
On this show. I just wanted to say I'm not going to complain too much because that's been going on a lot, and I could, but I just want to say Juwan Jennings, what a beast that guy is. And you know what? I wasn't very surprised. I mean, I hear people talk about game plans and all that and say, you know, Juwan's good on third downs, good on first downs. He's not really that kind of guy, not fast, but I don't know. I've kind of always seen him in this. Now, where can he take that if he was the number one? But I just feel like he's always just been a solid, great wide receiver that makes plays. I mean, just with more opportunities, I figure more of that would come to him.
I get what you're saying, Tony. Thanks very much. I like the one thing that sort of is frustrating about the Juwan Jennings thing for me. He got robbed of his moment. He got robbed of his moment. Today should have been just absolutely fawning over an unbelievable performance. But I also don't want to now just decide, which I'm hearing a lot of people do, that this is what Juwan will do anytime he goes out there and gets an opportunity. I have no idea about that. You know, the whole fun thing, and I get that people are tongue-in-cheek here, but, oh, they paid the wrong guy. Let's not start talking about Juwan Jennings making $25 or $30 million a year. That's not good for the 49ers. That's not good for anybody. These receivers are making too much money. This market got tilted in a way that it should not have. That's my opinion on that. Juwan, let's just keep it where it is. This was a wonderful performance, a wonderful day. Love that he's getting a lot more of his opportunity, and super bummed that the rest of the Niners ruined what should have been his day.
Yeah, he's had days before, and there's
like
many
this.
People who thought that he could have been the Super Bowl MVP. He had two touchdowns in the Super Bowl, so it was not the same game in terms of volume and stats, but his impact in that game was huge. And I don't even really want to entertain the conversation about Brandon Ayuk and his money, because you did it. You paid him, and you signed him, and now you get to have him. So if you really wanted to, you know, draw a hard line, and if you think, and you've made a good case for, you know, all these teams who are paying their wide receivers, and a lot of these guys aren't already living up to the billing, well, if the 49ers are really, you know, the kind of team breaking the mold, and they're, you know, light years ahead and whatnot, then they shouldn't have paid him, but you paid him, so now you get to have him, and you got to deal with it.
I don't disagree with you at all. Yeah, for me, this isn't even really about the 49ers and Brandon, it's sort of a larger issue about the wide receiver market. And I know, and I said, there are exceptions out there. The Lions are not going to not have Amon-Ra. The Vikings are not going to not have Justin Jefferson. But this whole thing has gotten out of hand. And this isn't the way you win. And if you want to have a concern about the 49ers' finances going forward, stop making it about Brock Purdy. It's about Brandon Ayuk and Deebo Samuel, for that matter. That's your concern going forward. That's your $60 million you need to worry about. Not the one that you're going to give to your sparkly quarterback,
right,
who just showed everybody what he can do even without all of his weapons.
And that's not even an issue because you are number one in football as far as cap space goes. So you've got the cap space, yep, really to be able to deal with it. And if you want to talk about other high price guys on your team, well, you've got Nick Bosa, who is 25th in football in sacks, and an earlier caller talking about fourth quarter impact, which hasn't been great. Trent Williams just got a new contract, and he can't make it through a game without needing an IV. That's two games in a row where he's been so exhausted or so depleted that he needs an IV. And your top paid cornerback gave up a 50-yard pass when you couldn't give up a 50-yard pass. So, yes, Ayuk is making a lot of money and not producing, but you can go all across the roster and look at the highest paid guys on your team, and a lot of them aren't really pulling their weight right now.
That's fair enough. Mike in San Jose, next up on Willard and Dibs. Hi, Mike. We appreciate your call.
Hey, how's it going, fellas? So, basically, what I'm gathering from this is absolutely nothing, because a couple years ago they went to the Super Bowl and they started out 3-5 and everybody was freaking out. Then we railed off 10 wins in a row, and by the end of the season we were flexing and everybody said we don't want to see them.
I do want to correct you, Mike. They did not go to the Super Bowl when they started off 3-5. They scratched and clawed and barely made the playoffs on the last week of the season, and then they went to the NFC title game. They did not go to the Super Bowl, but I hear your point.
Either way, they start out slow, they get hot. It's just kind of their style. I mean, it's not something that's surprising. It's not sneaking up on us. We've seen ourselves losing these games. The writing was on the wall. You knew that everybody had to be here in order for it to work. So the fact that guys were missing, we already had that doubt in our mind. So this isn't a surprise to anybody. Now, it is not a surprise that Kyle Shanahan is getting in a situation where he's keeping the team kind of in the knowing of where he's going. And that is completely stupid to all of us as Niner fans. We all know you run that ball, you don't get exotic. And he did exactly what he did in the Super Bowl, and he started passing that ball around, being an idiot, trying to use these schemes when sometimes just do the basic. And that's all we need as Niner fans from this man. If we get that, we'll be fine. But if he keeps doing what he did this last game, he's going to end up seeing that door, and we ain't going to want him here. I understand the winning's great, but it's going to get us to a certain point like yeah. he got with the other places.
I don't know when, Mike, I don't know when he got exotic, Mike. That's the part where I don't really get it.
Talk
where
to him.
He got exotic. And, you know, you look at the way they ran the ball on their field goal drive to put them up 10, and they ran it almost every single play. There was a 32-yard pass on the first play from scrimmage in that drive to Juwan Jennings when he did the Randy Moss. He jumped up and went over the defender and caught it.
Incredible.
You had another pass to Juwan for 14, and you had a Ronnie Bell drop, which I know is a shock to some people. But other than that, it was Garendo, Garendo, sneak, sneak, scramble, Mason, Mason. Those were your plays. And, yeah, the scrambles were pass plays called, but they weren't exotic pass plays.
No.
They were plays where he went to look and make a throw, and then he ran it.
Look,
so I don't understand the idea of him getting exotic. And on the last drive, Juszczyk held, which made it 1st and 20. You're not going to run it three times in a row when it's 1st and 20 and you're out of field goal range.
No, absolutely not. I mean, look, yesterday was not a great day for Kyle Shanahan. It was not. But it is funny to me how many people, whenever the 49ers lose, that was that call right there. And Mike, we love you, but that's the call I referenced earlier today when I said that there's like this Pavlovian response
yeah.
when the 49ers lose. It's no different than the Warriors losing. Steve Kerr and his rotations. And it's Kyle Shanahan and those damn play calls. The play calling was fine. They moved the ball wonderfully. Jordan ran the ball great. Juwan had his best game ever. Brock Purdy was sparkly. This was not a play calling issue. It's all of the other stuff that lost that game. The defense was brutal. The special teams was awful. The situational awareness by certain players and coaches absolutely deserves question marks. You can ask Kyle questions in this game. They just shouldn't be about play calling.
They had 425 yards of offense, and they averaged, wait for it, 6.5 yards per play.
Yeah.
So you're getting 6.5 yards of play. For me, that doesn't come down to play calling. And I think if you want to really give Kyle Shanahan his flowers, as I will do after yesterday's game, now I don't think that his coaching was a big issue. Remember the halfback pass that they threw? And, you know, they called it in at the 3-yard line, and then they ran to the line. He challenged it. He challenged it not knowing fully whether or not that was a completed pass or not.
And he was right.
And he was right. So if we're going to continue to go down the Kyle Shanahan road, and yes, the attention to detail from his defense and his special teams, they were bad. So there's a lot of things that you can look at that I don't think you want to put on Kyle Shanahan's plate.
Yeah, I'm completely, completely with you. 888-957-9570. That is the number. There's a question, I would say, about Juwan Jennings that we haven't asked yet. It is speculative. It is projecting. It is all of those things. But I think it's worth asking. And we're going to ask that coming up next. Plus, 888-957-9570. Let it out. Just get it off the chest. Yesterday was a very, very, very frustrating game. You point at special teams. You point at Nick Sorensen slash Brandon Staley, certain players. You want to get into the Kyle Shanahan conversation about other stuff. Why is Ronnie Bell on the field? Did you hear the answer that he gave about Jacob Cowing? That was interesting. We'll sort of reboot all of that coming up in just a second, okay? We're presented by Fremont Bank, celebrating 60 years of full-service banking with no compromises. This is Willard and Dibb.
On 95.7 The Game.
All things nauseating. The first touch of his NFL career. Nice shot.
Thank you. First touch. I think he had a fair catch earlier.
You nailed the trash
number
can.
One.
Yeah. Trash can for you is about a 12-footer. Is that what
it looks like? A little blind.
Yeah.
But I do think that he had another touch. I think he had a fair catch earlier in the game. I don't know if a fair catch counts as a touch, you do touch the football.
If you drop it, it's a fumble.
Yeah.
So
shout out Jacob Cowing.
Speaking of Jacob, what'd you hear in Kyle's answer about that? Because the media, and I think it was Jennifer Lee Chance, did a good job of sort of like not putting Kyle in the defensive position. You know, I know that there are some media out there that, why not Jacob Cowing instead of Ronnie Bell?
That's a great question.
Not really, because you're going to get a defensive snooty answer, and then you're not really getting anything.
Right.
I thought it was asked in a way that was productive. Hey, can you let us know where Jacob Cowing is in his development process? I hear Kyle Shanahan, without using these words, saying, he's not ready.
I hear him say he's not close to ready.
Correct. I agree with you.
He played 4 snaps of special teams football. So I think that right now all he is the punt returner. And I'd have to confirm it, but I think that was it. I think the Rams punted 4 times, and that is the summary of what Jacob Cowing did.
That is the end of your TED Talk.
Yeah, there is one. I'm seeing 2 punts, and there's a 3 punts. So there was another special teams snap where he appeared, apparently.
Great.
Maybe it was on the you know what it was? The fake punt.
The fake punt.
Of course, that was his 4th snap. He was the guy.
He was the man back.
Wasn't me.
Yeah.
Wasn't my fault.
No, he was Shaggy. Way back. Yeah. Okay. So
4 snaps. So what I heard Kyle say is that he's not ready. So everybody who wants Ronnie Bell run out on a rail, let's think about what we have right now from a wide receiver standpoint. Deebo Samuel, unable to play, status unknown, probably going to be out again on Sunday, I would guess.
No, they said last week it was at least a couple weeks. Okay,
so you've got Juwan Jennings, you've got Brandon Ayuk, who's rusty, you've got Chris Conley, who played 20 snaps, and you've got Ronnie Bell.
I don't know what decides who is rotating in and out over there. I would much, much rather see Chris Conley. But if you really want to like zero in on that play, I'm sorry. I really don't care who you are or whether or not the 49ers should have kept you at the beginning of camp or whatever the process is. I don't care if you were the 14th guy and you were just a camp body. You're going to catch the ball. You're in the NFL. You got to catch the ball.
What position does he play?
Wide receiver. Pass catcher.
Exactly.
Pass catcher.
Your job is to receive the throw.
You're a pass catcher.
Right.
And you didn't catch the pass.
Right.
I'm going to have a hard time. Like, yes, we can have conversations about the process that led us to this moment. But blaming Kyle Shanahan or John Lynch or anyone else for Ronnie Bell's drop pass, I think is a tough putt. I think that's hard to do. I think you're going back weeks now and you know, with wide receivers all injured already. Come on, man. Come on. Well, that's on Ronnie Bell.
It is.
Yesterday's game, his performance is on him.
His performance is on him, but they were the ones to draft him.
Yep.
They are the ones who continue to keep him. And I wonder if they don't make a move, because you do have Trent Taylor. And you also have Terrace Marshall Jr. on the practice squad.
That's an interesting name.
Some are clamoring for Terrace Marshall Jr. to get a chance to run out there and potentially catch or not catch the football.
Sure.
And that's something that you may look at, because right now you don't have a lot of other options. Like I said, you've got four healthy wide receivers and Ronnie Bell is one of them. And Jacob Cowing is clearly not ready in their eyes. Ricky Pearsall is at least a game away after being shot. So I don't think that the plan was for Ronnie Bell to be this big a part of the pass game, but you've got no choice right now.
888-957-9570, and what we're doing is talking to you for the rest of the afternoon / evening. So for a full hour plus, let it out. Let's do this together. Get your frustration out. We feel like you might feel better after you do that. Let's do that. Is this... Kevelation in Oakland? Is that the name? Did I get that right?
Definitely a Kevelation sensation.
That's what I figured. Okay. I figured.
Cha-ching!
What's up, M-Dub? What's up with M-Dub and the Silent River Dibber?
What's up, kid?
What's up, dog? So, look, listen, I hear everybody, and I don't want to be like boring with it, but, yo, chill out, man. Look, like, if guys can't get excited about what we just saw from Purdy, and Juwan Jennings, like, we kind of all knew Juwan. I wouldn't say we knew he had this particularly in him, because that was a big game. That was a big game from him, right? Especially when we were expecting that from IU. But, dude, listen, like, Purdy was looking Mahomes-esque with the type of escapability he was showing in that game and just the accuracy and his calm and his composure. Dude, I'm happy. Like, after seeing that, like, it's no way I can be unhappy overall. Now, there's plenty of things to focus on, but Kyle is not one of them, right? Like, we keep doing this back and forth, week to week thing. And it's like, listen, we got one of the best coaches in the game. It's going to work out. He has not had a quarterback like Purdy since he's been there, and now he does. And it's going to be adjustment period for Kyle, too, calling plays for a quarterback who actually can control the game with his talent and his arm and his composure, his mind, his thought process. So I just think we should all chill out. It's a little bummer that we lost Javon, but he kind of was, you know, playing like he was hurt anyway.
Yeah.
So, you know, so, like, I feel good. I don't know. You know, y'all let me know what y'all think, but I think we should just relax. I think we'll be all right when the year starts to wind down.
Kevin Lation, thank you very much for the call. Here's what I'll say, though. Like, I love the demeanor. I love what you're saying. It's still very early. Nothing has been lost yet for the season. They've been put in a little bit of a hole that they didn't need to be put into. But the other thing to say about that, though, is that it seems like your take is that we all need to be more patient with Kyle calling plays for Brock Purdy. And I am still going to continue to be mystified that that's where anybody's head is coming out of yesterday's game. There are no concerns. There needs to be no patience with Kyle Shanahan calling plays for Brock Purdy. That's the part of the day that worked.
Agreed.
It's the only part of the day that worked. My concerns right now are that they have elevated an in-house new defensive coordinator to the position for the first time in his career, and so far, the defense looks like it's not even trying anything, let alone doing anything.
Right. That, for me, that's a part of it. It's also something I said earlier in the crossover, and I'll repeat it for those just joining us, but I think that this roster, especially on defense, is overrated. And Javon Hargrave is now out for the year with, and Kyle said it, it's a partially torn triceps, and I'm glad I didn't pile on Javon Hargrave like some when they highlighted just one play where he was kind of standing around in the fourth quarter. Well, yep. Turns out he had a torn triceps, and so that's something that you don't know in the moment, and that's why sometimes during football games I won't tweet, because you don't know the full story if you want to come out and bury somebody. But I look at a defensive roster that, with injuries, of course, but looks a little thin to me. The defensive line, Nick Bosa doesn't have a lot of help, and he's not wrecking games. Fred Warner's out there as a lone actor running around in the middle of the field, and his help is not great. Flanagan Fowles is a special teamer who's been forced onto the field more than you would want. And Devondre Campbell, my goodness, a couple of high-profile mistakes yesterday. And the secondary that should be helped by a great pass rush is not being helped by a great pass rush. And Charvarius Mooney-Ward got cooked in a spot where you can't get cooked. And Isaac Yiadom got burned a few times. Diamondo Lenore was great. But in general, I think that many of us have overrated this defense, and then you add in a brand new coordinator as well, and it makes it tough.
Yeah, I wonder, what about this? Has Javon Hargrave played his last snap for the San Francisco 49ers?
What's his contract status?
Well, his contract is a four-year deal. This is only year two, but there is a potential out at 2025, which would be after this season. There is a dead cap hit, absolutely, and it's not tiny. But you know, if they're look, if he's now coming off injury, now he's into his 30s, and they weren't loving the way that he was playing before that. I don't know if we're going to see Javon Hargrave suit up for the 49ers again.
Just depends on if they feel like they have his replacement, if they have his replacement in-house, or if they can find his replacement. If you do decide to cut him at the end of the year and you eat his dead cap number, do you have the financial wherewithal to go out and pay another high-priced defensive tackle?
I don't know. And then I wanted to ask this Juwan Jennings question before we continue with the phones, and it's this. Like, if he's going to do, let's say you get another, man, I don't mean 12 catches, a buck 75, three scores, but let's say that this kind of performance continues for another week or two. What do you do when Debo gets back? You're going to put Juwan back on the bench, essentially?
Well, Juwan still is going to be out there for the three receiver sets.
Out there for three receiver sets, but I'm about 1 to 2 weeks away from two more Brandon Ayuk drops from saying, I don't know, how about Debo and Juwan? But you have a money problem now.
Of course, and you also have a situation where if you do that to Brandon Ayuk, if you decide that he's now wide receiver three, what does that do to a guy who we've already seen maybe has a little bit of a fragile ego when it comes to that stuff, whether it's a TikTok 2 days after a Super Bowl,
yeah,
or they say they don't want me, or all the rest of the feelings. He's been in his feels a little bit, and we saw it in his exit interview last year where he got emotional. He could barely speak. So now you're going to take Brandon Ayuk and have him be wide receiver three, and he's not going to be a starter?
I don't know.
That's very delicate when you're dealing with this individual player.
And we're way too early to get into this, but Juwan caught everybody's attention. Obviously, Juwan caught everyone's attention and was fantastic. And if you're going to get performances like that and Brandon's got a case of the dropsies, then, yeah, we got something to talk about. You're listening to 95.7 The Game, KGMZ FM and HD1 San Francisco and Odyssey Sports Station, always live on the free Odyssey app. Twitch and YouTube, powered by First NorCal Credit Union. For a low-rate auto loan, apply online or just ask for First NorCal financing at the dealer.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.